Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. My name is Will Pruitt. It is May 21st, 2015, and we're here this morning to talk. Well, it's morning for me. It's probably afternoon for you when you're listening to this, or, you know, 3 days later. That's not my problem. Listen, when you listen to this show, not my problem, guys. Don't blame it on me. We're here to talk today about Lucha Underground, the show that was broadcast on May 20th, 2015, featuring a Trios Championship ladder match between the Crew and the Trios Champions, Ivelisse and Helico and Son of Havoc. On top of that, we also got Daivari versus Tejano again. We got the return of Chavo Guerrero. That was weird. We got Prince Puma in action in the opening match against Marty the Moth. We got a lot of things on this episode of Lucha Underground, and before I launch into it, guys, we also have to talk about the lot of things that are in the wrestling news today. It has been an insane 24 hours in wrestling news, and if you want to get caught up on it, if you want to get expert analysis and opinions on it, if you want to know you are one of the most informed wrestling fans out there, you want ProWrestling.net membership. Guys, for $7.50, just for this month, you can get both parts of ProWrestling.net Weekly from this week. That alone, to me, worth it. You're going to get analysis on TNA reportedly being canceled by Destination America. You're going to get analysis on, and, you know, breaking news on that as well. You're going to get news and analysis on all of the situations within TNA, on things inside of WWE. You're going to listen to Jason Powell. You're going to listen to Zach Zimmerman. You're going to listen to myself, to Jake Barnett. You're going to listen to all of us on the ProWrestling.net members audio side of things. On top of that, you get ad-free access to the website. You get access to the ProWrestling.net members forum. You get so many things. And like I said, 1 month, $7.50. If you know you want to lock it in, if you say, yeah, but man, I want a year of this. I need to follow this ish for a year. It drops down to like $5.50 a month. It is one of the best values in wrestling website membership. As unusually specific as that statistic is. If you want to do it, head over to ProWrestling.net. There's a membership link on the right-hand side of the page. Click that bad boy and get ready to party or something like it, because ProWrestling.net membership is good. Yeah, how's that for a final pitch? Good. I feel like it gives us a fair amount to live up to, but not too much. Like, if I said great, I would feel a little bit of pressure. Anyways, getting into this Lucha Underground show, it was a solid episode of Lucha Underground, but not spectacular. It wasn't amazing, and I think we're almost spoiled when it comes to Lucha Underground and having amazing shows, and that makes it challenging to get a show like this where it's like, oh yeah, it was really good, but, you know, I personally know I expected a little bit more out of the ladder match. It wasn't disappointing, but it wasn't the all-out crazy town that Lucha Underground usually is. And then the undercard matches, sometimes on Lucha Underground, you get those really solid matches before the main event. You get something like King Cuerno in action. You get some really good stuff. And the undercard, while it did have Prince Puma in action, it lacked some really amazing stuff. So, not the best episode, but also not a bad one. I'm going to go through it. I'm going to use John Moore's coverage on ProWrestling.net as a little bit of a guide as I go through this. The show started with the previously on Lucha Underground video package, and we saw Dario Cueto talking to Marty the Moth outside. Puma and his issues with Hernandez, the Crew being frightened by Dario Cueto's brother. I think that's just about it, and we heard that we had a ladder match tonight. Vampiro introduced the show and sounded insane doing so. Sergio Mendoza y La Orquestra pumped up the jams, pumped up the crowd, and then we got Melissa Santos in the ring. She introduced Marty the Moth, who was standing behind her like the creepiest human possible, wearing an Aztec Pride shirt, doing a moth gesture behind her, and it was so uncomfortable, I cannot believe it. Marty, by the way, if you remember Martin from Tough Enough, he was in good shape then. I wouldn't say that he's in great shape now. You know, looking at him, I don't feel like Marty has really... I don't feel like Marty is doing too well on the staying in shape front. I don't want to be a jerk here, but Marty didn't look to be in amazing shape. I'll just leave it at that. And then we got a Prince Puma coming out. They said, the commentators talked about how Marty the Moth believes he's a descendant of an Aztec tribe, so he feels like he should be able to fight in the temple. He's going to fight Prince Puma, who has quote-unquote legit Aztec blood running through his veins. And, yeah, we had Prince Puma coming to the ring accompanied by Conan. Of course, Vampiro always up for insulting Conan, so he was psyched for this one. Sorry about that. It's morning. Coffee, guys. So our first match was Marty the Moth versus Prince Puma. And Marty looked at Puma like he was, like, in awe. Looked like they were best friends. Went to shake Puma's hand, even. And then Marty decided to beat up Prince Puma, because that's what people do. Or no, first he hugged him, and then he went to beat him up. Just, this, even with Marty the Moth kind of playing it up silly at first, this match to me had too much Marty the Moth dominating Prince Puma. Prince Puma is your Lucha Underground champion. Prince Puma shouldn't, you know, shouldn't be messing around with a joke character like Marty the Moth, and I don't think it did any serious damage here, but it is noticeable. To me, it is something that should be discussed, that Marty the Moth was basically just it hanging out and messing around with Prince Puma for a little while. But we eventually got Prince Puma being able to get the upper hand. From there, it was simple. Hit a big kick, hit a blue thunder bomb, and then hit a 650 senton off the top rope. Prince Puma pinned Marty the Moth. Vampiro decided to make fun of Conan a little more. Conan and Puma were celebrating in the ring, and Hernandez was upstairs in the temple and looked upset. Conan said he thought Hernandez was his boy, but now he knows he's a sorry son of a bitch. Well, Hernandez nodded and was like, what, Hernandez, my arms say things about me. That's what Hernandez, I think, was jawing at Conan from the ramp saying. Conan basically said, if you want to do this, how about you get in the ring and have this Lucha Underground Aztec Gold Championship match right now? And Hernandez was like, I'm thinking, nope, I'm out, bro, I'm out, totes out. Out, done, not doing that, not in the mood, not going to make it happen. And so we got Hernandez walking away from Prince Puma. And the commentators, of course, promoting that this match would happen at some point. That's as much as we know, is that it's going to happen at some point. I can't say that I'm a big fan of the Marty the Moth character. I think it's a little too silly. I can't say I'm a fan of the portrayal. He didn't impress me in the ring. Like I said, the shape he's in kind of worries me because he looks a little chubby around the middle. I would be fine if the Marty the Moth character did not exist. I'd be perfectly fine with that. Back from commercial, it was time for Ringside with Vampiro with our special guest Johnny Mundo. This was follow-up on the Johnny Mundo heel turn last week. Mundo was shirtless because all evil men with abs have to be like, dude, abs. And he shook hands with Vampiro. Vampiro talked about Dario Cueto's broken window, which they were asked right in front of. Which they were speaking right in front of. And Mundo explained why he did what he did to Alberto El Patron. Johnny Mundo said he came to Lucha Underground to be the best. And he came here day one and was fighting to be the best. And then Alberto El Patron comes in and thinks he can... He thinks he get a title shot. Well, Vampiro said Johnny Mundo didn't answer the question. Vampiro said I just saw a joke from our own John Moore that made me giggle. He said he should listen to older John Hennigan interviews because this is pretty much the norm for John Morrison. Oh, that's funny. Vampiro said he liked Mundo's confidence, but asked the question again. Johnny Mundo said he's known Alberto for a long time, and he did what he did to make a statement, to make him realize. Vampiro said he's seen hundreds of guys in the business get overlooked ahead of himself, said a very similar thing might happen where Mundo feels like he's getting passed over by Patron. Vampiro said not to punch Vampiro, and asked if Mundo was jealous. This was nice. This was really nice, this whole thing. And then finally we had the threatening part from Johnny Mundo where he said, you know, something, something, but you already know that. Wink. And that was the whole thing. It was good. It was not amazing. Johnny Mundo is never amazing on the mic, but he looks way better here than he did, say, in the ring, trying to cut a WWE heel promo. I think one of the advantages of the Lucha Underground format is that it allows guys to talk like actual people in these segments, and it gives them multiple chances. If you listen to some of the interviews I've done and others have done, sometimes they'll do like 20, 30 takes of a scene that they're shooting backstage. Now, I know some wrestling purists just went, "Oh man, that's bullshit. You do it once, it happens in the ring, and you get out of there." No. No, not with backstage segments that require acting. You do them as often as you need to, and as many times as you need to get a quality take. To be honest, I don't care how many times. I wouldn't care if they taped the exact same match three times from different angles and edited it together to be one flawless match. Because what I'm watching is ultimately one flawless match. That's what I get to see at home. Now, if I'm there in the building, I might get tired of it, but obviously, Lucha Underground, it's not made exactly for the people in the building. It's made for the people watching at home. The people in the building probably came in, they're lost as far as storylines go, and they're just trying to catch up as they watch the show. Anyways, Johnny Mundo seemed sometimes like he was playing at being evil. Like, he knew, he's like, "All right, so bad guys smile like this, and they wink like this, and they show off abs like this. Bad guy!" And it wasn't quite as bad as you would like it to be. That said, I think Johnny Mundo will be a quality heel here. We got Dario Cueto in his office that had boards on the windows talking about human sacrifices to the crew. Well, that's freaking creepy, Dario Cueto. He was talking about how the ancient Aztecs, they would have men climb up the stairs to their temples, and talked about how those stairs, well, they're like the ladder to night, which I found kind of awesome. He said that you would have to make a sacrifice to become the trio's champion. And he said if the crew failed, they wouldn't just disappoint him, they would disappoint the gods. The crew said that they didn't want to do that. And then Dario threatened to sacrifice the crew to Dario Cueto's brother. Dario Cueto's brother, by the way, got a lot of play on this show. It's getting pretty crazy. And I'm interested to see who Dario Cueto's brother is. Like, I had a feeling at first that we wouldn't get a reveal of Dario Cueto's brother for a long time. But now I'm looking at this show and we need to get it in the next few weeks. Like, it is time for Dario Cueto's brother to show up and make some magic happen. Dario Cueto talked about human sacrifice. It was creepy, guys. Already in the ring was Delivar Divari, who was sipping whiskey. If I had recorded this audio last night, I would have been doing the same while recording it. It was referred to as Johnny Walker, and I'm going to need Matt Stryker to do some research here, because I need to know what color the label is on that Johnny Walker. Because I can't believe that Delivar Divari sits around drinking Johnny Walker Red like a common plebe. That's got to be blue. It's got to be gold. It's got to be one of the more expensive Johnny Walker labels, right? Or why doesn't his family own a distillery that he drinks whiskey from that all of us can't afford? Just some suggestions there. El Tejano was introduced as Divari's opponent. Tejano has cowboy gear, looks awesome. The crowd is starting to get behind him. And this match actually got started, unlike last week's match between them. It actually happened. So Divari and Tejano, they went back and forth a little bit, and just when it looked like Tejano was about to beat Divari, he had hit the code breaker on him. Big Rick shows up. Boom! Punch to the face of Tejano. Or actually a clothesline to Tejano, but clothesline to the face of Tejano. And Big Rick and Divari beat up Tejano, and we got the commentators putting two and two together and getting four, saying that all that money Big Rick's got, and all Big Rick cares about is that money. Them dollar bills, yo. The Big Rick, He's now working for Daivari. And we had the commentators also kind of acting disgusted at this. Short little match, a little bit of a nothing DQ, but now we got Tejano kind of officially turned babyface, I think. We've got Big Rick established as the mercenary for Daivari, and we've got Daivari established as kind of a jerk face. So it served its purpose, but was not amazing. Dario Cueto was watching the action from the blinds in his office, and a finger poked him. You know how sometimes someone taps you on the shoulder and you're like, what? That was Dario Cueto here. And Katrina showed up in his office. And it was creepy. Katrina told Cueto that he knew that Mil Muertes could not be stopped. Cueto kind of was creeped out by it. Katrina grabbed the key to the cage, to his brother's cage. As Katrina ran her hands all over his body, and, or Katrina, like, rubbed his body, was going for the key, all of that. Basically, Katrina convinced, mentioned Mil Muertes, hey, he's alive again, and Dario Cueto was like, what? Alive? You don't say. And Katrina was like, oh yeah, Tote's alive, and he wants a match with the man who cannot die. He wants vengeance on him. So, Katrina, I think, somehow put the thought in Dario Cueto's head to make it a death match. So now we're going to get, next week, Phoenix versus Mil Muertes in a death match. And then Dario Cueto, and then after Dario Cueto said yes to the match, boom, Katrina's gone. I think it's kind of cool. I mean, I'm fine with the magical, mystical elements here. I'm also quite cool with getting Mil Muertes versus Phoenix in a death match, because if you saw the Mil Muertes versus Phoenix Grave Consequences, basically a casket match, holy crap, you know that they can do some amazing things. You know this one's going to be brutal. You know it's going to be crazy. And I think we're going to see Mil Muertes get his revenge on Phoenix there next week. That's a big and really fun match. I'm going to spend my week looking forward to watching that match, and you guys should too. If you didn't see it, I think the episode is actually called Grave Consequences. Look it up on your fine online provider of wrestling content of choice. I don't know that you will be able to find it by legal means, but y'all need to see that show. So do what you got to do. That's all I'm going to say, guys. You do what you have to do. Then we saw Black Lotus, Angela Fong, walking down that street. Well, actually walking on the train tracks. We saw that she had written a letter in a diary to her trainer, to her master, about how she needs to, about how, you know, she feels ready. And now she needs to get her vengeance. She needs to kill the man who killed her parents. She needs to kill Dario Cueto's brother. What? Oh my goodness. It's getting cray in here. So, we got a... Oh, apparently her trainer is El Dragon Azteca. I trust John Moore on this one, and I'm too stupid for it. So then we got her trainer, El Dragon Azteca, was reading this book, this diary that she wrote this in, that Black Lotus wrote this in, and who should walk through the door but Chavo Guerrero. What? And he basically said, if you don't want Black Lotus to die, you're going to need my help. And I rolled my eyes a little bit because, as people know, if you listen to my old TNA recaps where I profanely discuss TNA, man, maybe I should do one of those for old time's sake, you know, just cuss about TNA a little bit. Make them feel loved once again. It's been a rough week for people there. A rougher week for Dixie Carter, who told no one about her show getting canceled because she's an awful human. Yeah, all of that. So, Chavo, so we went to commercial, came back. Chavo, was talking with El Dragon Azteca at a tiny table, and they're sitting on the floor drinking, I assume, whiskey. But he said that the Dragon Tribe, the Cuetos, and the Guerreros, they have a rich history covered in blood. And talked about Familia, because Chavo, all he really knows how to say is Familia, Guerrero Pride, and my brother was Eddie. or my uncle was Eddie. That's all Chavo Guerrero Jr. actually knows how to say. Familia, Guerrero pride, and my uncle was Eddie Guerrero. And then he shimmies. No, but we got the... we basically got them making an agreement that Chavo Guerrero would protect Black Lotus. It was kind of interesting. I can't say that I trust Chavo here. I'm interested to see now that it looks like this Black Lotus story is headed for the temple. I mean, like I said, it looks like we have a lot of things converging on Dario Cueto's brother. Obviously, Katrina was grabbing the key to the cage that gives access to Dario Cueto's brother. We've got, Black Lotus after Dario Cueto's brother. The crew lost again and is going to face vengeance from Dario Cueto's brother. We've got a lot of Dario Cueto's brother things happening. Just interesting. I want to see where that goes. I am intrigued by it. Matt Stryker and Vampiro discussed the ladder match coming up. Vampiro said that the crew had the advantage because Ivelisse was injured. She would be the first person ever to win a ladder match in a cast. And the crew has won the one ladder match that happened in Lucha Underground before this. So, you know, they've got the big advantage there where they won the one ladder match. They are the ones who won the one ladder match. Son of Havoc, Ivelisse, and Angelico were coming up. We're coming out from kind of the upstairs backstage space where you have to walk through the fans. Basically, it's the babyface entrance or... I guess the Technico entrance in Lucha Underground, because the Rudos all tend to come from the entrance on the other side of the temple on the ground. And as they were walking out, the crew rushed up the stairs and just started hammering away at Ivelisse, Son of Havoc, and Angelico. Ivelisse kind of backed away because she was on crutches, and we did not see much of her for this entire match. So most of this match was, Bale, Mr. Cisco, and Cortez Castro. Bale, by the way, the worst wrestler of all time. Just hands down, the absolute freaking worst. Sorry, I just have to get that in there. B-Boy's terrible, guys. Don't let anyone, including Lucha Underground, tell you otherwise. B-Boy is awful. I didn't notice anything particularly bad that he did here. But we got the crew versus the Trios champions. Ivelisse was out of this for most of the time, so this was a 3-on-2 match for Son of Havoc and Angelico, and the match was all about, basically, them getting beat up, but not quite knocked out. Them getting knocked down, but not knocked out, getting some hope spots in there. We got a few big ones. The biggest thing in this match was Angelico ended up, once again, on top of Dario Cueto's office. Like Angelico tends to do. And he's up there for a while. He gets beat up there, so he's down. Gives you time to forget about it. One of the crew members was climbing a ladder in the ring, and Angelico runs, jumps, and perfectly drop kicks the crew member off of the ladder. Like, they didn't even knock down the ladder, but Angelico flew halfway across the temple to knock him off of that ladder and had the precision just to knock him down. Yeah, it was great. That was a spectacular spot. So, this match ended with Ivelisse having to come in. Ivelisse, sorry if any of you just heard my dog make some strange noise. This match ended with Ivelisse limping inside the ring, and started to climb the ladder. Mr. Cisco met Ivelisse on the ladder. Ivelisse bit Mr. Cisco's hand as she hopped up the ladder. Ivelisse then hopped up a little more, unhooked one of the belts, it fell to the ground, and that means Ivelisse, Son of Havoc, and Angelico have defeated the crew to retain the Lucha Underground Trios Championships. Dario Cueto was watching from his office, quite disappointed. He was upset. My dog apparently is upset too. Once again, sorry to anyone hearing that in the background. But Dario Cueto's guys lost, the Trios champions retained, and that's how we went off the air. Like I said, a good episode of Lucha Underground, not their best, last week's show was just phenomenal. So comparing it to last week's show is honestly unfair as far as standards go. It's not a fair standard to hold a wrestling TV show to, but this was a good show, not amazing. But you guys should check it out. You should watch it. I wholeheartedly recommend just the watching of Lucha Underground. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Like I said earlier, prowrestling.net. If you want to sign up for membership, that is a fantastic idea. Guys, I will talk to you again next week. At least on the .net member side, I will be talking to you again next week about Lucha Underground. Have a great weekend.